I would like to speak about the seriousness of responding to the Lord when He is calling, speaking to us, and trying to get our attention. The seriousness of responding when Jesus is trying to get a message into our hearts and minds. And we heard a testimony this morning when Jordan spoke, how he heard the Lord calling in his life. Jesus has been calling us to a more serious and committed walk with him. How will we respond to Jesus, to his offer, Jesus' offer to go deeper with him? In his words, he told us to launch out into the deep. And as Jordan was saying, I don't know who's going to testify, but it leads right into my message. As Jordan was saying this morning, he responded when the Lord was calling to him. But we could always go deeper. Always go deeper with the Lord. I know I could. We all could go deeper with him. In his word, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus told us, launch out into the deep. How will we respond when the Lord is warning to not be in a lukewarm or complacent condition? Jesus, in his love and mercy and compassion, visits us. But how are we going to respond to his visitation? We could open our heart's door wide to him, or we could ignore him, ignore his call, and miss out on phenomenal experiences with him. This morning I would like to discuss reacting to the Lord Jesus when he calls and visits us. What will you do with Jesus? How will you respond to his call for a more serious and committed walk with him? How will you respond to his offer to be filled or refilled with his Holy Spirit? I want to read, if you could turn with me, to Matthew 23, and we're going to read a couple of verses, 37 to 39. Matthew chapter 23, and we're going to read 37 to 39. Give you a moment to get there. Matthew 23, 37 to 39. This is Jesus' lament over Jerusalem. Now, when you read these verses, keep in mind, Jesus said this with tears. It wasn't like with a whip, like now you're going to get it. He said it with tears out of love. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus spoke these words from the temple in Jerusalem. His heart was broken. Regarding the treatments of the prophets, Isaiah was killed, Jeremiah was beaten, Zechariah was stoned, John the Baptist was beheaded. Now the hen gathers the chicks under her wings for comfort and protection. And in Psalm 91 we read, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will trust. The Lord wanted to bless, care for, and protect his people, but they rejected him. They not only killed the prophets, but also disrespected, antagonized, rejected, and hated Jesus. A few days after his cry over Jerusalem, they killed him. How often I want to gather your children together. The Lord made every effort to bring his people to their senses, but they rejected all his love, all his efforts. The Jews, including the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, were willingly blind and unwilling to accept Jesus' message of love, forgiveness, salvation. These rulers, so-called religious people, could have accepted Jesus and his teachings. They heard Jesus teach. They saw him heal many sick, cast out demons, and even raise the dead. But when they saw his miracles, they questioned and antagonized him. They spoke evil of him. They treated him with disdain and hatred. But they could have accepted Jesus and his doctrine. Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, accepted Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, who was a member of the Sanhedrin, the governing body, believed in and accepted the Lord. He gave his tomb to Jesus after Jesus was crucified. The rulers and so-called religious leaders would not accept Jesus, but two officers who were sent to arrest Jesus heard him speak and were so overwhelmed by his teaching, they forgot to arrest him. Now, Jawan had to leave, the police officer. He would know, he would understand what's being said here, like the impact of this. They forgot to arrest Jesus. They heard him speak, and they forgot to arrest him. The Pharisees could have accepted, believed. They were willingly blind. They didn't want to. They chose to reject Jesus, his messages of love and salvation, and all the grace that Jesus offers. Unfortunately, in current times, many people choose to refuse the Lord. And because of the rejection of Jesus, the Jews lost. They forfeited the love, the care, and protection that Jesus offered. They missed out on. So it was sad. These verses I read was called the lament of Jesus. He cried. Like I said, he wasn't all over them with a stick. He cried. He looked over Jerusalem with tears. He said, your house is being left to you desolate. You know the impact of these words, your house is being left to you desolate. The temple was no longer God's habitation. The temple was no longer God's habitation. How sad was that? We as a congregation want to pray that this church would always be the Lord's habitation, a place where we could come and meet him and learn from him and worship him, a place where the Holy Spirit can be free to do as he pleases. A few decades later, Jerusalem was destroyed, roughly around 70 AD. I mean, Jerusalem, aside from a couple of tall buildings, Jerusalem was flattened. This destruction came because the Jews of that day did not accept the visitation of Jesus, the visitation of God in the flesh living among them. If you could turn with me to Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 to 44. Luke chapter 19 and verses 41 to 44. Give you a moment to get there. Now again, we're going to read that Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And if you study the history of this event, there were 2 days in the week that Jesus was crucified that he wept over Jerusalem. The Monday and the Tuesday before he was crucified, he wept over Jerusalem. Luke chapter 19, verses 41 to 44. And when he, Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you that your enemy shall cast a trench about you and compass you round and keep you in on every side and shall lay you even with the ground and your children within you, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another because you knew not the time of your visitation. Regarding the time and place, as we said before, this particular lament was the Monday before the crucifixion. Jesus could have been descending the Mount of Olives, in which you could get a good view of the city of Jerusalem. Jesus cried over Jerusalem. What was that cry like? How did Jesus feel inside? We get a glimpse. We cannot know exactly, because his heart is so great. We can't know exactly how he felt. But we get a glimpse into that great heart of Jesus. We always speak of the great, great heart of Jesus. Try to imagine the hurt when a heart that great is broken. The sorrow and the hurt must have been to the point of anguish, and I believe it was. The greater the heart, the greater the sorrow, right? In the book, The Son of Man, Brother Petrelli wrote, as Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem, his heart could no longer hold the sorrow. No one could measure the force of that weeping. It resembled a mother crying over the corpse of her little child. In his tears, Jesus had anticipated the funeral of the city, and it was a funeral. He said in verse 42, If you had known, even you, at least in this your day, the things which belong unto your peace. This part of Jesus' lament refers to the things which Israel could have had if they had responded to the loving call of Jesus and obeyed his teachings. The kingdom of heaven was at hand. Jesus himself was among them. But because of their willful blindness, they missed out. They forfeited the greatest blessings and opportunity and peace. But now they are hid from your eyes. God didn't blind these people, these scribes and Pharisees and whoever that rejected him. God didn't blind them. His heart longed for these people to accept his son. Most of the Jews of that day were willingly blind. They hated Jesus, rejected him, and eventually killed him. Verses 43 and 44. For the days will come upon you that your enemy shall cast a trench about you and compass you round and keep you in on every side and shall lay you even with the ground and your children within you, and they shall not leave one stone upon another because you knew not the time of your visitation. In the year 70 AD, the Roman general Titus had a wall and a trench built around Jerusalem in an effort to starve the inhabitants. Escape was impossible. The temple was burned and destroyed. As Jesus prophesied, not one stone was left upon another. And today, if you go to Israel, I was there about 10, 12 years ago, only the Temple Mount remains. There is not a brick, not a stone on that Temple Mount. The temple is gone. It was destroyed. the out-of-control fire in the city, and the out-of-control fire spread into the city of Jerusalem. Titus killed most of the residents and destroyed all but the tallest buildings. Remaining Jews were sold as slaves, just what Jesus cried, what he said when he cried over Jerusalem. This was the end of the Jewish nation until 1948. The destruction by the Roman Empire occurred because the Jews of that day did not know, did not recognize or accept the time of their visitation. God in the flesh lived among them, and they hated him, and they rejected him, and they killed him. Now, what's the take home with this? What about the day and time of our visitation? The Lord visits us. He wants to save the unsaved. He wants to restore the backslidden, the prodigals. He is calling us to a more serious, more fervent walk with him. And when I say this, I'm referring to myself too. God wants a more serious, more fervent walk with him. He wants that from me too. He wants it from all of us. There's always deeper we could go with him. Jesus is infinite. He is instructing us not to be lukewarm in our service to him. He is asking for a more serious, a genuine commitment to him. We have heard messages about the qualities and work of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Are we going to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit or a refilling of the Holy Spirit? Are we going to use the gifts of the Holy Spirit that have been given to us? How are we going to respond to Jesus this morning? Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 read, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Don't ignore or reject his voice, his call. Don't ignore it. Don't put the teachings of the Lord or his calling for a more serious commitment to him on the back burner. We want to recognize the time of our visitation." Do you remember the two disciples walking to Emmaus? I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn to it, but Luke chapter 24 and verses 28 and 29. "And as day drew nigh unto the village where they went, he made as though he would have gone further." That Jesus made as though he would have gone further. "But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them." We should be constraining the Lord, urging him to remain with us, to be the greatest, most prominent person in our life every day, to fill us and to fill our life. Ask the Lord to fill you, to fill your life, to be with you wherever you go. And he wants us to yield control of our lives to him. There's no problem with that. Let the Lord control your life, like we don't make mistakes. Let the Lord control your life. He doesn't make mistakes. This morning, the Lord might be saying, "I've given you the invitation to come and seek me and to receive me in much greater measure in your life. Will you come out of your lukewarm, complacent condition and launch out into the deep of as I have instructed you? Will you put me before your distractions? Will you hunger and thirst for me and be filled with my spirit? Will you seriously respond to my loving call so that I can fill you to overflowing? This morning, what will you do? What will I do with Jesus and his call for a more serious commitment and dedication to him? His offer to fill your life, and he will fill it like no one else can. Will you let distractions blind you to the day of your visitation. Watch out for those distractions. Will you miss the day, the time of your visitation, and cause Jesus to weep over you? Or will you constrain him, as those two disciples going to Emmaus, and tell Jesus three words, "Pass me not." We sing that hymn, "Pass me not." Don't let Jesus pass you by ever. If we don't constrain him, he will pass by. We don't want that. We don't want to break Jesus' heart and cause him to weep over us. We don't want to break the heart that pumped our salvation. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. So that means that his great heart pumped our salvation. We don't want to break that most awesome heart. We want to constrain, urge Jesus to live with us, fill us, yielding control of our lives to him. We want to respond to his call for awakening and revival in our lives. We want Jesus to be in every heartbeat and breath of our lives. Let me repeat that. We want Jesus to be in every heartbeat and every breath of our lives. We want to possess and confess the reality of Jesus Christ. We want to allow him to reign supreme and reign alone in our lives. That means we have to get off the throne of our lives and allow Jesus to be on the throne of our lives. We need to ask him to fill and refill us with the Holy Spirit this morning. Don't let Jesus pass you by this morning. Ignoring his loving call, missing the time of your visitation, and letting him pass by will have serious consequences. So I'll leave you with that. We're going to get down to pray now.